morning. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. I'm putting on more garb, but it has nothing to do with you. It's more we're trying to accommodate so many different levels of service on the internet, so I figured when I walk away, these people can hear me. Wow, hey? So this is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Where'd it go? You know, it doesn't matter what's taking place in our world. It just continues to move forward. And as Mark has brought to our attention, there definitely is the understanding of lighting the last candle, which is love. And as he brought out, we have a hope, we have a peace, we have joy. And then now there is this understanding of love. And how do we move in that love? That is the ultimate question. So with that being said, our sermon text will be taken from the Gospel of John. And with that, I bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to ask that you stand up for this. In fact, I believe very strongly I shouldn't even have to read this to you. I believe that many of us know it by heart, but we will read it in Jesus' name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. We thank you, Father, that you have allowed for us to be here. That, Father, we would not live in fear, but that we would live in peace. We know we have peace, Father, because we have that great hope. And in that hope and in that peace brings us joy because of the love that you give to us each and every day. Allow this word to impact our lives. Sanctify us in the truth because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this part of Scripture, warm in here, isn't it? Anybody else? This part of Scripture is very common. There's no doubt about it. As I've made reference before, it seems to be a banner that we like to hold up. And I'm not a sports fanatic, so, you know, I'm not saying right, wrong, or otherwise. I just never got into it. But the fact of it is that whenever you do watch a sporting event, and I do, because if people invite me over, I want to be polite and eat their food. But the fact of it is that generally it's about a lot of fellowship. But when you're watching in that event, often someone will hold up this sign, John 3:16. And obviously, we're not here to judge anybody's character. But what does it mean? Is that a message that the church often brings out to the world? Is that a message that even in this Christmas season, when we understand what Christ has done for us and we live in that joy and that excitement of him redeeming each and every one of us, do we understand that this message is for the whole world itself? The proclamation to the world that God loves you. We look out in this world and we see a lot of darkness. We see a lot of difficulty. We see division. It didn't just start in 2020. We've seen it coming for a long time. We could probably go all the way back to, Cain and Abel. But do we understand that God didn't give up on us? He didn't give up on each and every one of us, and he hasn't given up on this world. He in reality beseeches it and calls to it to know who he is. And Jesus, he's bringing this to Nicodemus, who is a mighty individual in Judaism. And he's coming to Jesus, and he's turning around, and he's having a conversation with him at night because he wants to know the way to heaven. Wouldn't that be cool just to figure it all out, and then we could just follow these seven steps and be done? It is that simple. But it's not seven steps. It's one act. It's one act of faith to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and him crucified and to not count on any other word. See, when we talk about love, we have a tendency to talk about, I remember it was Pastor Jay's comment all the time, a Hallmark love. A Hallmark love. I haven't seen a Hallmark store in so long. I know they exist. I think there's still one in Marquette, actually. But in other words, this, you know, you open this envelope and there's a beautiful rosy little card in there and it talks about all your sweetness and thank you for 50 good years, you know, or Judy and I, thanking Judith K for 30 good years and, you know, and I love you more than life itself and everything is perfect in our world and nothing could ever go wrong and doggone it, woman, you're going to throw away 2 pieces of Banagaku. What is wrong with you? And then your whole Saturday is shut. That was about my comment last week about Banagaku. We're human. We forget so many times that, you know, this love that he's speaking about is not a superficial love. It's not a, ooh, I got to be careful how I state this. Many years ago, I was doing a wedding up here. And I was sincere as ever because it was like one of the third or fourth weddings I've done in this congregation. And it was kind of cute because I was trying to bring the emphasis of the importance in love in a marriage. And I used a wrong choice of words. Because I told them, I hope you understand that you know, after this day, you can't make love. And the whole congregation got silent, and the best man stood there just laughing. And I realized what I said. Context is everything. I said, let me rephrase that. After this day or any day, you can't manufacture love. You can't just get a can of it and dump it in there and think you fixed everything. Love is from God. Love, in essence, comes forth from God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son, to each and every one of us. Love is an understanding of who God is and the service that he pours out in behalf. Can you imagine how those people felt? Well, we corrected it. But the point is, this text brings us to a very powerful position when Nicodemus is seeking for the understanding of how to get into heaven. Jesus tells him very plainly, Nicodemus, you can't do it on your own. This is not something that you can manufacture. This, in reality, is being born again, made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not about you, Nicodemus. You need to be made new. Nicodemus is a little confused by this, and he's taking it quite literally. And he's like, well, how in the world can I be born again? Can I actually take and go back into my mother's womb and go through the process? In other words, that's how absurd this was to Nicodemus. He couldn't understand it because he was acting in literal human understanding. How many times do we do that when we face this world? How many times do I do that when I speak about the aspect of love in a marriage, thinking I can just do something nice and take care of it, manufacture it? Once again, use the right word. Manufacture. Jesus turns around and says to Nicodemus, he says, are you actually a teacher? Are you a teacher in Israel and you don't understand something as simple as this? And the answer would be, yes. And you know what? Left to our human devices, this is exactly who we often are. We forget. We forget what we've been gifted. We forget the understanding of what God has done for us and in our behalf, that we are now given this righteousness, given this gift of life. And now we are to enter into this world as ambassadors of this truth, as messengers of this truth. No matter what may be going on around us, no matter what may be the politics of the day, or what may be basically acceptable in the day, or what might be the new fashion of the day, that we are to be instant, in season and out of season, when it's popular and when it's not. we continue to proclaim the demands of God. That was a trick. Because that's what we often do. We often turn around and want to go out into the world and bring all these demands on people. We're to go out there and share the love of God. The love of God. Yes, love will bring truth, but it is the Word that brings that truth, not me. It is the Word's job to reprove. It is the Word's job to bring correction and also encouragement. Because even in my own self, often my own encouragement can be kind of, you know, sweet and hallmarky. But love also speaks truth. Jesus spoke truth to us when he spoke these very words, "For God so loved the world." He created it. He created each and every one of us. He has given us the breath of life. And he loves us. He loves us. Just like we love our children. I know, your children have all been perfect. Have never strayed out of your sight. Have never, you know, taken a little cookie that didn't belong to them or taken anything else. I'm being facetious here. But we still love them. Even when they have different understandings, we still love them. It is our desire to keep that unity, that relationship. Well, God loves us. And we don't often, or always would be a better word, have the same thought as God. We aren't always in his perfect ways. But he loves us. For God so loved this world. He loved it so much that he gave of his only son. Somebody sent me a message today, and I thought it was so fitting. Talked about the understanding of giving. God giving his son for us. God loves us. And as the message said, he could give us $1 million. Just like that. $1 million. What did that cost him? Nothing. He could give us a planet, as the message said. But what did it cost him? Really nothing. He can create something out of nothing. And it goes on to say he could give you a universe. And it wouldn't cost him a thing. But he gave his son. He gave his life. We have a hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ in this Christmas season that is so powerful because it is motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And because we have this hope, we can live at peace in this crazy world. And as living in peace, we can enter out into this world and we can bring a joy that actually is foreign to a lot of people. This week, you know what I did? And I would highly recommend it. Well, you could come here if you want to do it, but anyway, I got a Christmas CD, and I put it in a recording, and I had it going through the whole church. For 2 days, I had that thing going. I had to do it before Cheryl got here because I didn't want to drive her crazy, but one day, I left it on for her, too. You need to take in happiness. You need to take in joy. You need to take in the gifts that God has given. And you know, my little girls were here. And my little girls, I was telling Cheryl, I said, you know, some people may, I'm not real serious, but some people may see me as a pastor and standing up and all this other stuff. Love motivates people to do the strangest thing. Because when my little girl heard the breath of heaven come on that thing, she looked at me and she said, "Pop-pops, dance with me. Dance with me." And I put my bookwork aside, and her and I were dancing in the halls. If anyone came in, I would have been embarrassed beyond measure. But because I love my granddaughter,
I'm willing to stop and do what's unthinkable. God loves us. He loves us.
Though he's king, though he's supreme, though he holds authority above every name in this universe,
he loves us. And he gave his life for us. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, cost him everything. Cost him everything. That's how much you're loved.
As I've often said, whatever we create as human beings, oftentimes we have no problem letting it go, destroying it, because we can just build another. But God gave of himself. He gave of himself because he loved this world. And it wasn't the dirt, though he said it was good when he created it. It was the joy that was set before him on that cross, you and I. Adam, the race, the human. That is why he did it. That whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life or eternal life. That is the truth. And he gives us now in this truth, as believers and as receivers of this truth, he gives us, I think, which is interesting, we always, what does God want us to do? What would he have us to do? Well, you know, we got all kinds of rules that we think he would have us to do, but that's not what he speaks about. He gives us now a command, a new command. He says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Also, love one another. Isn't that a beautiful command? It's like, this is such an immense calling that now, as the children of God, as ambassadors of his gospel entering into this world in this Christmas season, like I said, and I keep repeating because I want you to learn this stuff. I want you to get a grasp of what this represents. Yes, it's adiaphora. Yes, it may all just be there for remembrance, but the remembrance of what it stands for is so important. That we have a hope in Christ Jesus. In this hope, we have a peace. And in this peace, we can live in joy. And living in joy, we're not afraid. So we can love because we have been loved. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you. We don't need to look in the rest of the room. I can turn my back on you, and this is where I need to be. How have I been loved? Even my wife, who is the most patient person in the world, once in every 10 years has enough of my stuff. But God loved us. He loved me unconditionally. Unconditionally. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a tall calling. How are we to do this? Every one of these candles focuses around one center candle, doesn't it? And we will light that on Christmas Eve in remembrance of Christ. We are only able to do this in Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, read in this fashion. Beloved, so he's already calling you his love. Let us love one another, for love is from God. Love is from God. And whosoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Really what he's saying, it's an impossibility to do this without him. Without him. Anyone who does not love, does not understand, does not know God. Why? Because that's who he is. That is our God. He is the essence. He is the very being of love. Without him, there is none. gives us the truth. He gives us a command, but then he gives us the how-to. The how-to. It's Christ Jesus. It's Christ Jesus. It's not me. It's not my abilities. It's not your abilities. It is to surrender and look to him, to give us the ability to love. If there was ever a time for this, it is today. As we head into this Christmas season, as we head into basically the Christmas Eve service, I pray that our messages will be focused upon unity, that we will be focused upon the love of God, and that we would understand who we are as the saints of God. That we enter into this world not looking for our own way, not looking for our own understanding, but rather in the compassion and love of God, that we can look into this world and proclaim to it, you are loved. You are loved in spite of everything else. Your love does not come from any man-made manufacturer. Your love does not come from any kind of party that you may be assigned to. Your love in reality permeates and comes forth in Christ Jesus and him alone. And what I think is so interesting is when we ask these kind of questions, what can I do or how can I do it? What's the ability? Jesus says very plainly in the Gospel of John, without me, you can't do a blooming thing. Maybe it doesn't say it quite in those words. He says, without me, you can do nothing. But I want to do the works. I want to do something, you know, just spectacular. Maybe that's what we say within ourselves, to maybe even convince ourselves or to convince somebody else. So they come to Jesus in the Gospel of John. John's a beautiful book. What must we do? What must we do to do the works of God? Because, man, we got to do something. We got to do these works. And they ask in the plural. And Jesus says, not me, nobody else. Jesus says to him, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. By grace through faith. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, may we also move in that same love. Is it always easy? No. Are there times where our flesh fails us? Absolutely. Mine does all the time. I'm not giving excuse for it. All I know is that in my weakness, he is made perfect. And boy, at times I think he must be just shown as perfect immensely when it comes to my life. But that is something for us to count on. That it is not about my performance or what I can do, but it is a rather an understanding of what he has done in this imputed righteousness that he gives to each and every one of us. How in reality will we make it to heaven? How will we actually get through this time? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of his word. Through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ himself is how we will be there. It is by his blood. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we come together today, maybe in a different form, maybe in a different fashion than we're used to celebrate the Eucharist, the communion, the one thing I want to proclaim to each and every one of you by the power of the Word of God and by the power of his Holy Spirit, that you can believe all your sins, doubts, and fears forgiven in his precious name and shed blood, because they are gone. They are as far from you as the east is from the west. And may we praise God for the gift that he has given us, because he has given us a hope that continues to give us a peace so that we can live in joy and we can show love. For God is love. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.